Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for tuning into Lifestyles for a Lifetime. I am your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we are continuing our messages on prayer. So please tune in. We'll be doing it for the whole year. So I am excited and just to see what the Holy Spirit is going to say in and through me as I share the Word of God. We have been talking about the three dimensions of prayer. And for those of you who have tuned in, we know that one is the continual prayer, our daily devotional, and then the fervent prayer that we are to have that just balances everything out for our lives and what we walk in and the divine blessings that we are to receive and just knowing God. As I shared in the past, we are in Japan, and when you see the beautiful mountain in a three-dimensional perspective, it doesn't do anything, Mount Fuji, in comparison to a picture. And even where God has graced us to be, just for a time of prayer in the prayer house here on the ocean, looking out the window now, pictures don't do anything, but looking at the three dimensions here, and even the small mountain that's here on the ocean here, it's so beautiful. The same thing that God wants for our personal prayer life. And if we're lacking one of the three, then we don't have a full picture of what God is wanting. We don't have the clarity of what God wants in our life. So the actual scripture that we will cover several, and we will move through this one quickly because we want to close today in the three dimensions of prayer of Paul and Jesus, as well as we know Daniel and even David. It was actually a custom that they had, even in the book of Acts, a time of prayer. But just quickly, I'll move along pretty quick here today. So if you want to get you take notes, you can or re-listen to the actual broadcast. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 and 3, it says, we are ever giving thanks to God for all of you continually, mentioning you when engaged in our prayers. 3, recalling increasingly before our God and Father your work, energized by faith and service, motivated by love and unwavering hope in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So here we see that that they're giving thanks. There's continual prayer. The prayers are, they say, recall unceasingly before God the Father, unwavering in the hope, and they're praying continually until the return of God, of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So this is one of the scriptures that we want to lay our foundation. Now, if we go to 1 Thessalonians 2, and we'll turn there quickly, and we'll look at, let's see, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. And it says, and we also especially thank God continually for this, that when we receive the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but this is the word, truly the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising to superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on. So here again, we are seeing that they are giving thanks to God continually. So we're seeing that word where they were praying continually, unceasingly. Now, let's quickly move to 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10. And it reads as follows. And we continue, here you see it again, to pray especially and with more intense earnestness, night and day they are praying. So they were 24 hours a day. And even, you know, we know so many visions and dreams they were having while they were asleep, and they were in constant communion with God. So earnest night and day that we may see you face to face and mend and make good whatever may be perfect and lacking in your faith. So here we see again the continual prayer, which is just one of the foundations of the three that we just mentioned. So when we have a prayer life and we're walking in the blessings of God, we can just look at Paul's letter to the church, and we discover here that the depth that he had and the power in the Christian life. So we see that the continual prayer, even in 5 and 17, he's saying, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Continual prayer is not so much an act, but it's an attitude. As we're recapping over this. Amen. So everywhere you go, if you're in an atmosphere of prayer, the enemy can't come in. I was sharing and ministering with someone this week, and we were talking about how people build stories in their mind about situations, circumstances, things, people that they're not even thinking about. The circumstance is, you heard the old saying, the things you worry about, well, we know that if you worry about them and think them, that they can come to fruition because you're speaking it. But if you don't worry, those things will never come to pass. But sometimes we build stories in our minds, even about people. And we were sharing how stories are built about what people think about individuals, and that person isn't even thinking that. It's just something that is not a spirit of discernment working in our mind, but it's a lack of us praying and communing with God, but opening up our mind to the enemy. I know one of the sayings Dad used to say all the time, the devil sure gets in the minds of the folks. You understand? So that's what the enemy does. Is when we don't have our continually praying, continually communing with God, the old saying, you can let a bird fly over your head, but you don't have to let him build a nest there. But if you're praying and communing with God, then your mind and your thoughts are in the heavenly realm, and you're thinking on heavenly things. And we're walking in the divine presence of God, the Jehovah Shammah, God, your presence. Is always there with me. God, I want to be in your presence. You think about Moses, and like, God, how can I experience your presence? He was on the mountain, and he was in the presence of God. And when he came out amongst the people, he was glowing because he was continually praying. So you think about praying 40 days and 40 nights, or you think about just praying continually 24 hours a day in communing with God, you're going to be in the presence of God, and you're going to fellowship with him, and you're going to fellowship with him, and you're going to desiring and delighting in the Lord. So there is not in world a kind of life that's in this universe more precious than being in the presence of God. And just talking to God always. Just think about Adam and Eve in the beginning, in the cool of the day. He could just commune with God. But then what, the enemy came in and started speaking to his mind in the same way that he's still working today. So let's work this week as our assignment and throughout life is practicing being in the presence of God. God, Jehovah Shammah, your presence, God. Take not your presence from me. Let me walk in your blessings. And so as we are more like Jesus, being able to go before the Father and be with him. And that companion that is ever by our side. You know, even the angelic hosts in the presence, they're with us. They're around us all the time. We're in the presence. We're under an open heaven where the angelic hosts are ascending and descending up on our behalf, just like Jacob. So there is a quote. It says, "I see that unless I keep a short prayer every day throughout the whole day as intervals, I lose the spirit of prayer." So the spirit of prayer, and that is, again, we want to be able to talk with God informally anytime, anywhere, in whatever situation we're in, whatever circumstance. It's just praising, rejoicing, and giving thanksgiving. So the one aspect that we know is the continual prayer. The other one that we'll go into, as we see in verse 3, it's in our prayers that we have the regular set-aside time. And I just love my devotional time, and what I do is each year I go through the Bible, and I don't make it like a religious routine, but normally by January the following year I finish. This year I didn't finish February, but I always start in the New Testament, and so even as of today, I am in Corinthians, and most of the time by April, I'm starting the Old Testament. But it's my devotional time where I read through, and I like to use the different senses. You know, we have the touch, the taste, the smell, and the see. But one of the things I like is hearing, and the hearing of the Word of God while I'm receiving and reading and writing, and just, you know, His Word is so tangible. So sometimes I listen to the Word as my devotional time on, I have like a, something like a little iPod that has the whole Bible on it, but I don't count it as reading it unless I'm sitting down listening and reading and taking notes. And it really enriches my spirit. And as we know, the Word of God, it illuminates and it's inspired by God Himself. So each time I read through, I get something different. But it's just a good feeling, you know, to finish a book. And then what I do, if I have spare time where I'm getting ready, and that hour and a half or 2 hours I'm sitting down reading each day, what I'll do is, say, for example, Romans. We just finished Romans and start with, she said, "Mom, I want to go through this twice." So we went through it twice in reading and listening. But in my spare time, I must have went through Romans another 3 additional times by listening. And then before we go to the next book, we always go back and talk about what we learned from the footnotes and from the introduction in the book. And that way you're getting the fullness of your devotional time. And, of course, you know, within your devotional time, you know, reading other books or stars. She listens to so many of the old generals for hours and hours every day. So whatever's good for you, but that adds to the continual prayer. And then that other dimension of looking, you know, we're talking about the dimensions of prayer, is your personal prayer time. And it's just exciting for me. In each book, up in the top, I always write what month, the year, so I can look back, you know, over the years of what month I started. And so it's just something that I like doing and just sharing with you kind of what I do in my personal time. Some people utilize the personal devotional books, but that's what I do. Start off with the New Testament, and sometimes I'll go through one book maybe three or four times. I know when I was in the Old Testament, some books that just re-illuminated in my spirit and my devotional time, I would grasp little nuggets and go over and over again, just like Romans, you know, we went through twice, and now we're in Corinthians. But your daily devotional is so important that we have that regular time set aside, because, you know, we know in the Word, this is what Jesus prayed in the morning. And historically, even today, devout Jews, well, they pray all the time. They pray early. They pray three times a day. And even David, and we know Daniel, what did he do? He every day he prayed. And even as he prayed, what we know the scripture where it says, I heard you, you know, on the first day, but there was warfare going on in the spiritual realm. And so David was even persecuted for his prayer. But these men of God that practiced every day, we want to eat our daily bread. We want to eat the natural food. So every day it demands that we have time in prayer. And God, he just speaks through us, through his word. So make sure you don't get sidetracked. Find something that works good for you. And I love hearing and reading at the same time. I don't just count the reading part, but the hearing part as my reading. That's just a personal thing I have. But I do, again, listen to that book, especially if I've read it, listened. And then if I have spare time, I'll go back and listen again. If I'm just maybe doing something or other tasks, I'll have that word going. So you're continually even getting the word of God. So no believer's prayer life is going to be greater than the quality of your devotion. The regular time that you spend with God, you spend in his word. And again, I shared how mentally the enemy comes in, but no greater remedy for anything. Even psychologists, psychology hurts, sickness, disease, dis-ease, all these can be, I believe, healed and changed when we stand on the word of God, that by his stripes we're healed. We're hearing what God is saying about us. Our body, God, is the temple of your spirit. This is where you reside. No sickness, no disease, nothing can come, because this is your body. This and eating of his word and understanding the fullness of what God wants by the three dimensions. So whatever is necessary, you know, some people just love the praise and the worship and thanksgiving towards God. You know, that way you confess your sins. And I love the Lord's Prayer. And I go through that in my prayer time every day. Sometimes I wake up from my sleep and I'm going through that prayer, just saying over and over, just where your spirit, man, is always paired for the fullness of what God has, so you can walk in the divine purpose and plans of God. So confession, reading the word, meditating, and petition for just some of your personal needs, and even the intercession for others. So those are key things for your daily bread, for your daily devotional. And so just make sure it's planned and disciplined time. You can set aside an hour in prayer. It can change the world. It can change your life. It can change your family. So, okay, we've gotten through the two. All right, test time. What were the first two? Continual prayer, the three was one of the dimensions, and your daily devotional. Now, the last one that we'll discuss is the fervent prayer. And if you want to just take time and more quickly, let's look at James. Have your Bibles there. And very familiar passage, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, which are things you, your slips, your false steps, things, your offenses, your sins, and even if someone is upset with you. We had a great victory this week. Actually, it was a week ago. I'm here in the prayer house, and we had someone that came here, and they hadn't been able to get a prayer through in 6 years, Christian. And as they began to share, the Holy Spirit had given me a word of knowledge and just said, you know, just this person, God wants you just to call them. They were like, they didn't know if the number still worked. And the person had, I don't know how much in American money it would have been, but it was a lot of money, had owed to them and never gave it back. But they begin to say, oh, I just can't get this out of my heart. All the yens that they've taken from me, and I can't get a prayer through, and I know I'm to forgive, but I just refuse. I have hate, but I came here today, and I want to see it be removed from this. So that was the key, I believe, ingredient, was sharing outside of just with her, with their family members, but really just sitting down and just sharing the hurt. And then the Lord said, you're to call that person. So they called them a couple of times and no answer. And then they were sitting there and they kind of went into this daydreaming, just like with anger on their face. And I said, well, you know, when they call back, you're going to have to release this and just confess. And the Holy Spirit said that what that person on the other end of the line is going to say is going to be one of the breakthroughs to this person's deliverance. But here's the key point. I said, you were the one that actually, that I don't want to use the victim, so to speak, but you are the one that, you know, your money was taken. But you asked for forgiveness. You confessed that you have been hurt, that you have held hate. And when that person did that, there was a breaking in the spirit realm, just the confession. And I was going back and forth on the phone with the person on the other line with a translator. And when I put the phone to my ear, I could hear that individual just sobbing, crying, weeping. And then I took the phone and I put it up to the lady who the money had been taken from, and she could hear her confession, her repentance. And the person who had the money taken from them was the one that asked and said first, you know, I forgive you for what you've done. And then after it was all over, just with that confession, there was a breakthrough. For 6 years, for both of them had not spoken. And that is the thing with prayer and what's in this dimension of prayer, that we are actually having our confessions and praying and asking God, Lord, I just need you to forgive me for this. So as we confess to one another the things that are going on in our lives, that's a key part. But now to verse 15, and the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's a preceding verse. But if we confess to one another, therefore, your false lips, your false steps, your the offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. So as we're looking here, the earnest, the heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man, the scripture, it avails much. That means it makes tremendous power available. It's dynamic in its working. That's powerful within itself. So as we begin to pray and you're in right standing with God, God will, he will move mountains on our behalf. And maybe you're out there today and there's something you need to confess. You can just confess it to God now. Maybe you're like the person in the situation for 6 years who had that hate and couldn't, wasn't able to get a prayer through. You know, one of our prayers, even I said, you know, I'm just going to pray that God will take that stony heart and just soften it. And at the end of that, God just, I mean, just seeing her face today, she began to cry. A family member that was with her began to cry. Someone else at the prayer, here at the prayer house, and myself, we just, when she hung that phone up, we just did a little dance and we shouted hallelujah because there was a victory in praying and confessing. So let's look at Luke 22:44. God wants us to walk in the divine victory of what he has for us, and just think it's in our confessions, it's in our time of prayer, you know, everything that we need. It's almost, it's our medicine. Prayer and the word of God is the medicine for our soul. So we're moving to Luke 22:44. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime. And we are continuing on and ending today with the three dimensions of prayer. So, and being in agony of mind, he prayed all the more earnestly and intently, and his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down up on the ground. So this is the third one. The fervency. So God wants us to have passionate prayer. He wants that fervency. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we were in a meeting, and God just turned it into a fervent, birthing, travailing type of prayer. And that's what he wants. He wants that intense desire in us, that longing, that deep-seated word craving, that expressing the earnest urgency and burden from the Lord. And he meets us. It's like, I hear my child crying out and he'll come. The time I was, say, for 5 hours in the Holy of Holies, it was a fervent cry for God and he took me there. And he wants us to always stay in that realm. So when we have that determination, that persistence, we're praying through until the answer comes, the peace of the Lord is settled because we're no longer the victim, but we're the victor. Sometimes it's a spiritual battle. Sometimes we're fighting against Satan in the spiritual realm with the power and authority we have through the blood of Jesus. And that's not always necessary, but sometimes we may have long periods of prayer where it's several hours. It might be through the night. So maybe if you can't sleep, sometimes we've always heard God is trying to wake us up. But let's spend our time with that prevailing prayer, that brokenness, that humility, with that deep emotion and feeling. Sometimes it may be weeping. And sometimes God may call you to a time of fasting and prayer, that something you need is not going to be answered until you fast. But as we close, all of these are needed to make your prayer life real. So if you don't have continual prayer, you can't be close to God. If you don't have that devotional prayer, there's no consistency, the stability, the balance of discipline, maturity. So fervent prayer is the depth you have to have. It's no sense of the crucial nature of our prayer. And consequently, there's no victory if you don't have the fervent prayer. There's not even the compassion. So as we close, have your daily devotion prayer and walk in the blessings of God. And remember, fervent prayer without daily devotion is undisciplined. And it can be selfish problem and sinner and even a point of immaturity. So let's this week have an attitude of prayer with fervency, because with fervency, you're going to have the power. So ask yourself, God, which area of these three dimensions do I need to strengthen? And how long has it been since we've talked with the Lord and told him some of your secrets? How long has it been since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees to last until the sun came up, until the sun came through? So let's turn our mind, our will, and emotions over to him so that we can be at ease. And if there's someone you need to call as a confession, do it. God works through even people. They're like Jesus would. So, Father God, we just pray that you just seal this word in Jesus' name. And I say to you, success to you and success to the kingdom of God. Pray without ceasing. And next time, we will start on the prior, the perseverance, and the power of prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And remember, your assignment today is to be in the three-dimensional prayer realm. Amen.